Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show. And I know a lot of people are making, I guess, big determinations about what happened yesterday. And I would say more than anything, it's something that has occurred throughout D'Amico Ryan's tenure. The Texans are undisciplined. He was the head coach of a team that committed the fourth most penalties in the league last year. Now it's early, and after their 11 penalties yesterday, they've committed the third most penalties. And of course, Laremy Tunsil is a big focus of the conversation, and rightfully so. He took no responsibility for what happened yesterday. He talked about communication issues. He said it took all of us. I still think he got incepted by the end zones in stadiums, because I believe some of those stadiums say it takes all of us. But it's been a thing under D'Amico Ryans. His two teams through, what are we talking about now? The 19 games they played last year and the three games they played this year, they commit a lot of penalties. And the thought is when you get a defensive coach, he's hard-nosed, he's going to instill discipline. That has not been the case. And in fact, maybe it's just a San Francisco, like a former San Francisco 49er defensive coordinator thing, because the Jets led the league in penalties last year. So until we see a change, I would just say, hey, expect D'Amico Ryan's teams to commit penalties. And his offensive line was a big part of the problem yesterday. And if you want to include the tight end as part of that, throw in Cade Stover too, because on the first play from scrimmage, the Texans get a nice gain, gets called back because of holding, and then the game was a disaster from that point forward. They go down 34-7. We'll hear from Titus Howard on what he thinks was an issue as far as why they were called for so many illegal formation penalties. But Lance Zierlein, very upset with Laremy Tunsil, and I think we've even grabbed some of what he said for socials. You can find it on Twitter. I think it'll probably be up on our YouTube channel as well. He called Tunsil selfish. And I had not heard this before, not the Tunsil selfish thing. I've heard that before. But why he's doing what he's doing. Why the false starts are happening. He's leaving early, not because he's just confused. It's because he's always guessing to get off early because he doesn't want to give up sacks. And I guess you don't put commit penalties on the list of things why you don't get paid, but giving up sacks will keep you from getting paid. So if he's always guessing the snap count and he's getting off early to avoid getting beat by edge rushers, it will make some sense. I'll commit as many penalties as I need because I'm not going to give up sacks. Because if I give up sacks, it hurts my standing. I don't make Pro Bowls. I don't make All Pros, and I don't get my money. You don't not get paid for committing penalties. And you want to deem that selfish, you're probably right too, because it short circuits drives, it puts you in unfavorable down and distances, and apparently he doesn't care. At least not enough to stop. Because I know the thought was, how come he doesn't fix it? Well, if he doesn't want to fix it because it leads to him not giving up sacks, then there is no how come it won't get fixed, because the man who's at fault doesn't want to. So that can be a topic of discussion. You want to get in 713-780-3776. Of course, we'll talk a lot of Texans. We had some people later in the previous show call in about different teams. So if you want to get in on something that happened in the NFL, you can bring that to the table too. But I was thinking about this game and what it might mean beyond the Texans being undisciplined. And does it make them a non-Super Bowl contender? Does it mean they're not ready for it? You think back to last year. Now, the Chiefs have a bit of institutional belief that we just believe the Chiefs will always be good, and they're now 3-0. But they lost six games, I believe, last year. They went 11-6, started slowly, of course, got it going when it mattered most. So even the team who had won the Super Bowl in the previous year and was on their way to winning it last year dropped six games. So you think about it, their fan base was miserable a third of the season, if you take football seriously, as a lot of people do, where your week sucks until you play again. I would say relax, but some people do feel that way. Well, at least that Monday after, or at least whenever the game is played, that day after you feel terrible because your team lost. Well, if your quarterback's Skylar Thompson, you don't feel so bad because you knew you had no chance anyway. But that's my own personal story.
That's my secret.
Yeah. Hey, just have a quarterback you think gives you no chance to win, and you never feel bad after the game because you knew you weren't going to win anyway.
Just never believe.
Yeah.
That way, don't get your heart broken.
That's right. That's
good advice
right.
From old Sean over here on a Monday.
So the Chiefs lost six games. The Chiefs fans were asking what was wrong with their team quite a bit last year, and it did not matter. What happened yesterday for the Texans isn't a predictor of things to come, but it doesn't mean as much as I think people are putting on it. It's a long season. This is what I've come to learn. It's a long-ass season. We are 3 weeks into at least a regular season of 18 weeks. You know how much teams change over the course of months of a season? What the Texans are today won't be what they are in November and December. I'm not saying what happened was good. You got smashed. You looked ill-prepared. Your coaching staff didn't perform well. But at the end of the day, it's just one trash performance. And that's all it is. It does not help that it is against the first team anyone thinks is going to be good. We saw two of the teams the Texans played, the two teams the Texans played earlier, play yesterday. That was not a well-played football game. The Colts found a way because the Bears' offensive line is as bad as the Texans showed it to be. So you play a good football team, at least one that has played well early. It's funny, the Vikings now are some kind of a line in the sand about whether you're good or not when we were making fun of them because Sam Darnold was going to be the starter. And all of a sudden, Sam Darnold is maybe showcasing some of the talent that people believed he had when he was drafted. A lot of the talk on the broadcast yesterday was about how the Vikings looked at him and evaluated him and said, elite arm, elite arm, elite arm. And his movement stuff is pretty good, too. You saw him avoid some things, narrowly avoid a big injury. Daniil Hunter was flagged for hitting him low. You can maybe say, hey, what can Daniil Hunter do when he's being blocked into it? But that's the rule. You hit the quarterback with any forcible contact, and at that level, you're going to get flagged. I wouldn't throw that on undisciplined, which I do think the Texans are. That was a play of effort that went the wrong way. But Sam Darnold, what was it, four touchdowns yesterday? Did the Texans give up four touchdowns passing to Sam Darnold?
I think so. Yes. They gave up a lot of touchdowns. It's hard to keep.
Yeah,
track.
It was a blowout, and I believe it was a 34. It was 34 points and a four touchdown day from Sam Darnold. Not exactly what we're looking for.
17 for 28 for 181 yards.
So you get blown out. You get your quarterback hit a number of times, which we'll get to when we come back. And you're not competitive. Both backups play. Davis Mills and Nick Mullins play. I didn't see that coming. I don't think the Texans did either. Sean, we talked about it last week. Would Derek Stingley travel with Justin Jefferson? The answer was no. It's not what they do, apparently. They're not going to have their best corner shadow the other team's best player.
We did this last year where in the Browns game in the regular season, yes, Derek Stingley doesn't travel with the best receiver on the other team. That's not what we do here. And in the playoffs, you know what he did? He traveled with the best receiver, and they won by 20.
The good news is, if they have to do that again, it'll be in a Super Bowl.
Yes.
How they learn their lesson, we're not going to let Justin Jefferson beat us again in the first half, at least. That means they're in the Super Bowl. But the next time they see a good receiver.
Yeah, that's more the issue. The next time they play a good receiver, are they going to do this whole.
You have to cook us. If you prove that you can cook us like you cook everyone else because you're an all-pro. Embarrass us, please. The Texans like being dominated. I was going to say something.
Yeah, no, I was also. I was running through a whole bunch of stuff. I was like, not going to say that.
Yeah, not going to say that. The Texans like being embarrassed. They welcome it, and then they fix things. So we'll see who's their next big-time wide receiver to face. And we'll see if they learn their lesson from Justin Jefferson, or do they need to see that player twice before they believe that he can cook them.
They got the Jags next? I don't know.
I don't think they'll be traveling with Brian Thomas or
Christian Kirk.
Probably not. Unless they cook him in game one, then we'll see in game two.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Tune in.
Six weeks from now. Yeah, that'll be great. Oh, man. Christian Kirk goes for 140 yards in the game. Now I guess Derek Stingley has to follow him around. Cool. So we can talk about the coaching. Bobby Slowick's getting the treatment already. He's holding CJ back because that's a question to ask. Has CJ Stroud played well? And this isn't a question of sophomore slump. I know a lot of Texans fans are pushing back on that narrative before the year began because CJ knew all. How could he possibly not have a great year? But you know what happens when your star quarterback doesn't play well, particularly when it's your star young quarterback. Someone's going to get blamed, and it ain't going to be him. And I'm not blaming him because I see that offensive line not being able to handle games. But the coordinator now in question all of a sudden. So this is what happens. I won't say the knives are out. I'll say the daggers are out. The daggers are out slightly. They're like barely coming out of the sheath.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They're barely coming out. The Bears game was supposed to be one where you highlighted how great you were, and that one was a tight ball game for various reasons. Now you get smashed on the road against a Vikings team that's started off well. We're not pulling the daggers out completely, but we're getting there. We're getting there. Struggle against the Jags team, who we all expect to be 0-3.
Just peeking out.
Yeah.
Just peeking out a little.
Little. Bobby Slowick maybe sees a little glint of silver when he looks to his left and his right, but they're not completely out yet. So we'll get to more on the Texans and big college football weekend to discuss. Someone got their first start in the city of Austin. We'll discuss that, how it go, and we'll go around college football as well. It was a big weekend. Tennessee got the job done. Josh Heupel went a little light on his former employer and certainly his alma mater. So plenty to get to as we're just getting started. And we have a special guest in there. I don't know if that person wants to make an appearance. We will not reveal them. They may simply just want to sit back there and learn. But hey, very popular at the party. We haven't talked about the party. Sean Mace was doing a show. So he didn't get the brunt of the first couple hours. I mean, I think he even pulled an Irish goodbye. He was like, sorry, I'm out of here.
I stayed till like 10.
Right? Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there was an after party of sorts as well. You didn't have to stay for that, but you did miss arm wrestling. John Granato challenged the guy like it was the prison yard, but it was only arm wrestling. No one had to get punched in the face. So we're just getting started here. Plenty of stuff to get to. I'm actually trying to give Sean. Okay, he's off the phone. I didn't think we had to go to break before Sean got off the phone. I know what that's like for a producer when there might be a break and you're busy. All right, but before we get to that, and Julian, nice job by your 49ers, Julian. Congratulations, blowing that game to the Rams. Before we get to Julian and his despair, let's talk about MyBookie. We got a couple Monday night games tonight, right? We've got Bills-Jags, and we have Commanders and Bengals. Not exactly the best matchups, but maybe you want to make it more interesting by going to MyBookie. That's the place you go to if you want to put something down on the game. And, of course, if you're a new customer, you're hearing this ad, maybe not for the first time, but you're still considering whether to join, they have a sign-up bonus. Just use promo code BET975, and they'll match your first deposit. So maybe you don't want to go all in, but you want to put a little in, up to $1,000, MyBookie will match it. That's a good start as you take on what MyBookie has to offer. So we have the NFL tonight. Obviously, we have college football coming up in a little bit. You got to wait a little bit. But you have MLB. And throughout the week, you're going to have international soccer along with the MLS. So that's why that tagline is there. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime, because MyBookie pretty much lets you bet on anything. And if you don't want to get into sports betting right now, they have the live casino option too. Maybe you just want to play cards, chill at home and play cards. You can do that too. They have a live dealer who will make the game more enjoyable as well. So whether it be poker or blackjack, MyBookie will take care of you there too. So remember, just go to MyBookie.ag and you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Yeah, we had one call the first 2 weeks. So, I mean, we line up the same way we line up the first 2 weeks tonight, and then it was just some reason tonight they were like, all right, we're just going to call them. But it was just inconsistent.
What were they saying it was?
Saying you got to be up further on the line. I mean, but then again, the next play, you'll be in the same spot, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're good. So, like, I mean, I don't know. That's tough. That's tough. So, I mean, I just moved up further as I could, and then I looked at the guy, and he was like, are you good? So I was like, I mean, I'm lined up even with the center now. So, I mean, if that's what I got to do, I got to do it. But, I mean, definitely something that, I mean, we're going to have to work with the NFL with. Like, because, I mean, it's a problem all around the league, all tackles, having to move up so far in the line of scrimmage. And then it becomes a problem on the road games when you're on silent count and then guys getting out the ball before you get can because you're so far up. So it's just something we got to work on.
That's Titus Howard discussing the illegal formation penalties the Texans were hit with yesterday. There's not got to be any working with the league. How you work with the league is when the referee tells you you're off the line, move up like you did in the game. That's what it's going to be, working with the league. Yes, it'll be probably more difficult to do your job now because you don't get to be nearly in the backfield to pass protect. It is what it is. Defensive ends have been complaining about this for a long time. The league decided this was the year they're going to make it a point of emphasis. And if you got away with it in weeks 1 and 2, count yourself fortunate that that particular crew didn't want to emphasize it. And, you know, Larry Tunsil, the king of lack of accountability, said this about his issues and the O-line's issues, period. They tried to make an example out of us. The first 2 weeks, we lined up the same with no problem. Now it's a problem. I feel like somebody told them to make an example out of us. Got to call the same both sides. So I don't know who's echoing who. Did Titus Howard and Laramie Tunsil have a conversation and they both came to this agreement, or did one of them say it and now they're repeating, one of the other's repeating it? The other. And he also said about his own false starts. I want people to understand. We all have to be on the same communication. I'll take accountability because they're calling my name, but it takes all of us. Now, he's committed false starts no matter who the quarterback is pretty much throughout his Texans career. Of course, the famous line of they're targeting me, and this is another example. If he believes the team is out, the referees in the NFL are out to get the Texans. And maybe it's simply a cause of, hey, we didn't get called for it in our first two games. But I think of it like how different referee crews in the NBA operate. Some of those guys call more fouls than others. Happens in the NFL too. Some crews throw more flags than others. And I would say adjust. How long does it take you to realize this is not the day that I'm going to be able to get away with my illegal formation penalties? As far as his false starts, there's nothing that says anyone's targeting you. Everyone can see you're leaving early. The camera tells us, oh, okay, Laramie Tunsil left early. There's nothing that says the referee's out to get you there. Just leave when you're supposed to and stop, at least in my eyes, using getting off early to prevent sacks. This is what he's doing. He doesn't want to get beat. Throw a flag on me. I'll take that before you hit me with a flag because I got checks to cash. And flags don't reduce my checks.
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit of the Legion of Boom Seahawks on the holding where can't call it every play if I'm leaving early. And then at some games, the refs are like, watch us.
Yeah. In fact, we'll
call it every
play. In fact,
play.
I got all the time. My flight doesn't leave till like 5. I'll throw as many flags as I want. I don't care how long this game takes. So we'll see. Will the Texans adjust? They commit a lot of penalties. Yesterday was atrocious because of where they were happening on the offensive line. And they didn't have any momentum offensively and these offensive line penalties didn't help the cause either. Okay, Julian, I imagine this is about what happened to your 49ers, but I don't know. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Jeff Turkeys. Yesterday, we were well on our way to our 376th straight regular season win against the Rams. And we're up 14-0. McVay unleashed his big cojones and went for a punt, a fake punt in their territory and got it. And it seemed that we didn't recover after that. Ronnie Bell dropped that critical pass. The team itself dropped 6 balls, 2 included from our $30 million a year wide receiver. Moody missing the 55-yarder. It was just crazy. We deserved to lose that game in the sense of, I think, the Kool-Aid was being drunk, whatever you want to say, a little too much about the regular season dominance that we showed against the Rams when everybody started. You know, I know they beat us in Week 18, but we both had our scrubs in. It was just a bad day. And Tunsil, come on, Tunsil. A communication, using the word us, when it's you, you're a left tackle. You play on the line, but you're a left tackle. You're moving by yourself. I mean, the cadence is going to be the cadence, but excuses are like buttholes, sir. Everybody has them and they stink. Y'all have a good one.
Well, maybe you're not minty fresh like others, but Julian, his 49ers were up big. He kind of laid it out for you, but that game felt over until it obviously wasn't. The Rams come back and win 27-24. The reason you're a left tackle, Laremy Tunsil, and the reason you make all your money is because you're an island. The whole point is we can just leave you out there and you handle your business. That's why we give you all the money. That's why he gets all the money, to stand out there and be someone where we can shift our protections away, because it doesn't matter who you're going up against. You're going to handle it. And, yeah, the we and it's us and no, we see you. It's you. Cut it out. Stop leaving early to protect yourself from getting beat. That's all. That's all we're looking for. Can you be a left tackle who tries to do it by the rules and leave when everyone else leaves? That's what they pay you for. Yeah, the selfish word is not a bad one, and Lance called him that this morning. And I don't know if there's any other way to describe it. Unless he has a different explanation, no one's going to drill down on him like that to ask him, why do you leave early so much? Other than it's a communication issue.
And he's getting singled out.
Targeted.
Sorry.
Singled out and targeted, yes.
Yes. But, yeah, that I honestly, I think the comments post-game by Laremy Tunsil, I think that actually, to me, it maybe isn't worse, but it makes me view the issue worse than the issue itself. Like, during the game, I was just like, come on.
But in the heat of the game, okay, he's having a bad day in a tough environment. Okay, fine. It's tough.
To just, like, not take any accountability for it. That's actually, to me, is, like, almost worse.
Because it doesn't appear that he sees a problem.
Yes.
And this could be something that continues. And we know. It has continued.
First thing you have to do on the road to recovery is acknowledge you have a problem, Dell.
He's addicted to false starts?
He
needs a 12-step program for false starts?
I don't know. There's normally, like, what, 5 in pass protection that they take backwards? So
I'd have to ask an O-line coach.
Yeah. I think, to me, like, we talk about – I mean, he is one of the leaders on this team, and for him to play the way he did on yesterday and then to be like, blame the officials. I don't know. It's all of us. It's a communication issue. It's like, what Drew Scruggs needs to tell you where to line up? Like,
what are we talking about? Yeah, he needs a kick step to kick his habit of false starts, a better kick step. So there it is. Your best, well, allegedly, your best player, certainly your highest paid player on offense, can't get it together. And that was the prime example of what went wrong yesterday. Just an out-and-out awful performance. And give the Vikings some credit. they took advantage. The turnover, that big, that first turnover, they scored a touchdown on it, and that was, that felt like, okay, that happened. We will recover. We think we're pretty good. We'll be okay. And couldn't have been further from the truth. The Texans were never in that ball game. What, they scored the first touchdown when they were down 21-0, down three scores. And even then, I thought to myself, it took CJ making that great throw on 3rd and 11 to get them in a scoring range. They eventually convert for a touchdown. And even that felt like a slog. But they got in, and they had nothing left, and hell, Davis Mills got to play and have a near full drive. So that speaks to the level of dominance the Vikings had. Brian Flores, we talked about this, Sean. In fact, we'll get to it on the other side. I mentioned Brian Flores being the line in the sand when it comes to, is your quarterback good or not? CJ has not played well this year, and I'm not ready to go, he's not good because of what Brian Flores did. But Brian Flores is that guy. As far as, if your quarterback is good, your offense is good, you're going to have a pretty good day, because some of the things he does are not sound, and once you can decipher it, you're going to have a shot to hit some big plays. Just ask Josh Allen. The last 2 weeks, Brock Purdy, a guy who's squarely in the conversation of, is he good? We're not sure. And then, but CJ was, no, he's good. And we saw CJ Stroud struggle. Maybe it's the Shanahan offense. That's the two things that are the same between week two and week three for the offenses the Vikings played. But we'll get into CJ Stroud and what he's played like this year. And is this a product of a bad offensive line, or at least an average to below average offensive line, or is there something else? We'll see. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get into CJ Stroud and how much the poor offensive line play is affecting him. But let's talk to Eric Wong. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Del. I was watching the Cowboys game last night. And you think it was a mistake for them to sign Dak, because it looks like it's going to be a rebuilding year. And I finally came to realize Dak isn't the problem. He was making some pretty amazing passes yesterday. And I predict the Miami Hurricanes and the Longhorns in the national championship game. And did you ever get to check out the Penguin last night? I ain't got to listen.
Let's start from... Eric gives us so much I sometimes forget. So let's start with his first thing. Was it a mistake to give Dak all that money? Well, going by what you said next, I would say no. You said he's making amazing throws and he's not the problem. So I don't think the Cowboys had any other choice. We could talk about Dak's failures and they're there, the postseason stuff, but I think there are bigger issues than Dak Prescott with that team. You have probably one legitimate wide receiver. Of course, Jake Ferguson's not healthy. But the other thing is, you played a Ravens team who was desperate. The Ravens could not go 0-3. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you couldn't have beat them. But I think circumstances certainly play a part. And I said it with the Texans in segment one. It's a long year. The Cowboys, more than likely, will be right there with the Eagles for the division. What that means as far as their postseason hopes, that's a different story. I think we're overreactionary to games. Look, the Cowboys have set, maybe not a standard, but they've kind of have a resume out there that when it matters, they're not going to come through. But as a regular season team, you feel pretty good. They win a lot of games. I'm not going to let what happened yesterday determine what I think about the Cowboys. That division stinks. The Eagles, despite winning yesterday, they're not great. You can probably win that division. It may not be enough for McCarthy to keep his job, but I don't think you made a mistake paying Dak. What else were you going to do? Unless you just decided you want to be bad for a year. But even then, unless you're going to trade him in the offseason, he was still going to be on the roster. It is what it is. Maybe you're not an 11-12-1 team, but 10 might get you in the playoffs in the NFC West. Okay. What else did he ask?
Texas-Miami. National Championship Collision Course.
So long. Speaking of long seasons, the season's even longer now. You know how long? We're talking
three playoffs.
Each team has played four games. We're talking, 12 games from now? If it goes all well they would play each other for a chance at the national title?
Well,
even they both have a bye.
Yeah.
You have eight the rest of the way regular season-wise, a ninth in a title game, and then a bye for both. You still have three more games. That's how long, that will determine the national title. I can't think about that. I understand it. Everyone likes to look at the end and go, the playoff has become the most important thing in college football, maybe even detracting away from the regular season. Mm-hmm. But now the playoffs are even longer.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
All I'm thinking about is who travels with Restrepo when the time
well,
comes.
I would say worry about a guy no one really knows about, Isaiah Horton. He's the 6'4", running under 4'5", guy that people need to worry about.
Pass that along.
Yeah. Well, if it comes down to it, I gave you if we're talking about the next freak Miami wide receiver, that if he continues to live up to what he's shown early, that's the guy. That's a clear number one type wide receiver if he ever becomes an NFL prospect. So, the other thing, yes, I did watch the Penguin last night, because I was all footballed out. I know that might be crazy to some, but you know what? I'm done with football. I don't care for the Chiefs and the Falcons that much. I know how that game's going to go. The Chiefs are going to get a call they shouldn't get. And Kirk Cousins, although he came through on Monday, wasn't going to come through again. No way he's going to do it 2 weeks in a row. So that's how that played out. I watched it. I liked it. The Colin Farrell, who's unrecognizable as a Penguin, you have to kind of remind yourself, oh, yeah, that's actually Colin Farrell under all that. Crime drama. The woman in place who was the mother. Turns out in How I Met Your Mother, she's playing the Sophia Falcone.
Spoiler for How I Met Your Mother.
How long ago was that show?
10 years.
Yeah, okay. If a decade has passed, what are we doing? Yes, she's good as Sophia Falcone in that one. I won't give it away for people who haven't watched, but there's an actor in the show that I would recognize from a lot of other things who gets killed almost immediately. And I was surprised how it happens because you can kind of tell if you watch as much TV as I do that, okay, this guy or woman does enough that she's not going to be someone who dies early. This guy got it within the first 20 minutes. So, oh, okay. Different ball came here. I thought I had a beat on this show and I was wrong. No way that guy was going to die, and he died. So
I was not familiar with your game.
I was not, yeah. And they started off with the, as Penguins overlooking the city. If you don't know, it's set up days after, maybe a couple weeks after the final scenes in the Batman. And the Penguin, or Oz as he's called right now in the show, he's overlooking the city, and the Batman theme is playing to get you locked into the world. You hear that. So I'm in. I know it premiered on Thursday. I didn't get to it till last night. So another show for you guys to watch on HBO on Sunday nights. This one competing against the NFL. So we'll see how it does. Probably not a bad idea to maybe have it on Thursdays too. I don't think they'll do that going forward. That might have just been a 1 week thing. Okay. I was going to get to the CJ Stroud thing, but we're up against it. So we'll talk about this. He mentions Texas and Miami as his predicted national title game, once again, so far away. But the guy who, if all things go Texas's way, probably won't be starting in that game, did start against ULM. Apparently Texas didn't heed or listen to the ULM defensive coordinator, although they probably did not prepare as well as they will for Georgia or even Mississippi State, but they got the job done. Did not suffer a Northern Illinois at Notre Dame type of upset loss. So you watch Arch. I know you threw a pick very early. People came away from that game saying they need Quinn Ewers back. I didn't see much of it. What do you think about his performance?
Yeah, to win a national championship, to beat Miami in a national championship game.
Of course, because of course that's going to happen.
Just pencil him in.
Yeah.
They're gonna need Quinn Ewers. Arch Manning. It was his first start. You could tell it was his first start. He got the pick out of the way very early. I like that. Just throw it into triple coverage. Just
an awful decision early.
Just an atrocious
decision.
Get it out of your system. But one thing about Arch is that maybe some of this is the fact that they're playing Louisiana Monroe. And last week when he came in, they're playing UTSA. He is absolutely bombing the ball down the field. He is chucking it so far. Every time he gets a chance, he's going with the deep option. That's something where, again, he's played against two Group of Five teams. Next week, if he plays, he's playing against Mississippi State.
which got their ass kicked by Florida at home
on
Saturday.
And by, was it Toledo? I think.
Yes. They give up points to anyone they face at this point.
Yeah. So probably won't be another test for young Arch for a little while. But I thought he was mostly fine. I thought it was nice to see him, you know, bounce back from the interception. I was joking about how it's good that he threw in triple coverage, but it was good to see that he didn't get all timid. He wasn't second guessing his next throws. He went out there and ran the offense, and he made some mistakes, but it was also his first career start. Quinn Ewers, no one was happier about that interception than Quinn Ewers. Just say that.
He's like, see, told y'all. Give him a little huh. See, I told y'all. Y'all think it's so great, right? He's throwing into triple coverage against ULM. What's going to happen when the dogs are after him? Quinn Ewers like, come on, I'm sitting right here. Yeah. He can play against Miss State, but you know who the guy is when it matters.
I think that's probably the biggest takeaway for most people is that you can't fire up the Arch should be starting hype train. He played fine, but not so well that you're going to bench the guy who was the Heisman favorite when he got hurt.
Yeah, now that belongs to someone else.
Who is the Heisman favorite?
One Cam Ward.
Oh. Ooh.
And you'll get to see Cam Ward.
He's going to be in the national championship game. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, you get to see Cam Ward in a game by himself for the most part on Friday as Mario Cristobal tries to avoid what happened last year when he started 4-0 and then got beat by a average ACC opponent at home when he didn't take a knee against Georgia Tech. 4-0 again. Another Tech coming to town on Friday. This time it's Virginia Tech, who got beat by Rutgers at home. So, and they also lost to Vandy. Although Vandy pushed Missouri, so maybe that loss isn't as bad as Virginia Tech people thought it was. But hey, we'll see. As the penciled-in national title teams get discussed in this segment, thanks to Eric Wong. We'll get to C.J. Stroud and the number of hits he's taking. The offensive line has not done him any favors, and he threw a bad pick. The first one, deflected, whatever. But the second one, that was a poor decision. And more, maybe not more importantly, but on top of that, a poor throw that led to the Vikings even grabbing a stronger hold on that game. So we'll talk about CJ and where he is in year two. And is it something we should be worried about or simply an early three-game stretch that will get worked out as we go forward? We have plenty to get to. We'll get into the AP poll. Not a lot of changes, but there is one because of the aforementioned Missouri struggle. So they took a dip, and so a couple of teams moved up. Ohio State was back in action. They looked really good. So a lot to get to here. We'll go around the NFL as well because, I mean, we did get a Cowboys call. And as I said, they're not in trouble. But I want to hear from Antonio Pierce because while Baltimore got their first win, so did the Panthers. And he has some things to say about, Antonio Pierce did, about his Raiders team and making some decisions he didn't like. So we'll get to that. A lot of stuff to get to. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So, we can no longer claim to have the only wins in the AFC South. Thanks to the Colts. And, well, more like thanks to the Bears. Come on. You saw that 4th-and-1 option call? Woof. The Bears are a disaster. There's a picture of their offensive line. Like, was it all five or at least four of them are laying on the ground?
Yes.
As Swift and Williams are going to get pummeled by Colts defenders?
Yes. Two of them are laying down almost in the same position that you never want to see a football player lay in, where they're like on their side looking at the play.
Yeah, it was bad. It's like if you play Madden where all the offensive line have the same animation at the same time. Like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
It's very obvious that this isn't real football. And the Colts get a win. No thanks to Anthony Richardson. Boy, was he bad. That one throw he made and near the goal line where he was ranging to his left, and there are like two receivers in the area. He overshot both, or maybe it fell between one and the other, and it landed in a Bears defender's hand. Oof, gosh. I don't know how you take it. Like, as explosive as he looked throwing the football down the field against the Texans, for the most part, the rest of his game is one where it'll drive you nuts. So good luck with that, Colts. Now back to the quarterback in town here. Enough about the Colts squeaking out a win against the Bears, who are terrible. At least offensively they are. So CJ Stroud has been sacked 11 times in three games. And some of it is you lining up Kate Stover over Jonathan Grenard, which forced a holding, or just simply trying to block Grenard with the tight end no matter what. Grenard said after the game, hey, that was disrespectful. You got this rookie tight end trying to block me. It was very disrespectful.
It's a little out of order.
You're opening up the game with that call, and it led to a holding and wiped out a nice gain. It wasn't Bobby Slowick's best day.
And then you went to it again, and Kate Stover gets thrown like he's Jazzy Jeff in Fresh Prince. Yeah,
like Uncle Phil.
Yeah.
throwing him out the house.
Yeah, and then it leads to a sack. Yeah, not great stuff from the rookie tight end.
Yeah, or his play caller putting him in that position. So you have Schultz and Stover, who to this point have not proven to be good. Well, Schultz over his career, but Stover so far haven't proven to be good blocking tight ends, at least in pass protection. And then you have an offensive line who still can't handle games. And despite all that, we're going to get off the snap early, no matter if it's a flag or not from Tunsil. The offensive line as a whole doesn't handle tackle in games, or even tackle games, or even some of the times where a tackle will just hit a guard in the ribs to free up his other guy to split and get into the quarterback. So they don't handle games well. They commit penalties, and it's leading to hits on your quarterback. And I'm not saying CJ's jittery, but the hits keep coming. One of his biggest assets and attributes is standing in there, firing it, and not being worried about it. No quarterback is immune to that. We credit him for not being worried about it as a rookie, and the sack totals weren't crazy, but what he's had to do so far, whether he's being hit, sacked, or just avoiding the rush, there's going to be a byproduct of that, and that's going to have your quarterback looking to check it down. And this city suffered through check down guys. I mean, David Carr, the epitome, and I'm not saying CJ's going to get there, but that offensive line has to figure it out. They're healthy. They're well paid, or the assets have been given to that offensive line, whether it be through the draft or free agency. In Tunsil's case, it was a trade and then the money. So you gave a draft picks and you're paying them well. You're paying Titus Howard well. And I would say so far, unless you're playing a bad Colts front, they've been poor. Or maybe I'll give them average, because they can't run the football and their quarterback gets hit. That's not a great combo when you talk about an offensive line who has that much invested in it.
Do you think Sam Darnold, after the game, was like, hey, got to stop taking those hits to CJ Stroud?
Yes. Nice call back by Sean. I don't know. We'll see if there was a mic'd up. One of those guys was mic'd up. I don't think Sam Darnold is going to be like, he's going to be a great player in this league.
Yeah, one day, kid.
One day. I don't think Sam Darnold's just joyous that he's got a chance to win some football games.
It's like, thank God people aren't mad at me.
Yeah. Sam Darnold's at a point where, whew, I wasn't the problem today. I'll take it. Hell, even Justin Jefferson dropped the wide open pass for me on a third down conversion. Now Sam Darnold missed them on one too. Oh. But Justin Jefferson dropped the first one. Yeah. Ah! That's on you. You can't yell at me about the one I missed when you got 81 yards in the first half, and I tried to hit you on a conversion that would have led to probably a touchdown that would kick a field goal. You dropped it. That's not on me.
Yeah,
sure, I could have maybe led you to the outside, and I brought you back into a potential hit, but you could have caught that turned up field. That's on you, Justin, not on me. I'm good today.
I like the idea that Sam Darnold just has, like, post-traumatic Jets syndrome.
Well, we know about him like, seeing ghosts, so yeah.
He's just like, man, people would be killing you right now if you played for the Jets. Like,
yeah. Sam Darnold living his best NFL life, at least so far through three games. So CJ, the two picks, his first two picks of the year, like I said earlier, the one was the deflection, and if the Kate Stover penalty doesn't happen, he probably doesn't throw that one. But the one where It maybe goes back to what he talked about maybe now a week or so ago, where he talked about protecting his guys. There was an inside. The safety was inside. He had an in-breaking route. He tried to throw that ball away from the safety, but he misfired, threw it far behind his receiver, and just picked off. Nice play by the other Viking safety, but it was a rough game from him and the entire offense. And Bobby Sloak better watch himself. He's going to get the Tim Kelly treatment. Or the Bill O'Brien treatment when people thought Deshaun Watson was good. The "you're holding our quarterback back" treatment, that's already started. We talked about it earlier about the knives almost out. He better watch himself. We're just a couple months away from, are we going to lose Bobby Sloak to an NFL head coaching job? Now, if CJ Stroud takes a step back, Bobby Sloak's the reason this offense isn't what it should be, because the expectation was explosive. We got these three wide receivers. We got Joe Mixon. We're going to kill teams. And the Texans have not been explosive. Their best offensive performance came when they were able to run the football and dictate terms to the Colts. They have not done that for the most part this year. I mean, the last two games, partly because of penalties and mostly because of the offensive line isn't as good as what we thought it could be. I had questions about the interior, but even the tackles haven't played that well. So,
yeah.
Hey, Tim Kelly, fix it. Oh, well, you're Bobby Sloak. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. What's the difference right now? Hey, luckily, we don't know the offensive line coach, because that guy hasn't got mentioned once. I didn't hear him on the morning show, and I don't know his name. So if we did know his name, that's the guy we should be looking at.
Yeah.
Laremy Tunsil's catching it because he should. But the offensive line coach, what have you been doing all offseason? Your offensive line is completely healthy. You missed Juice Scruggs for one game, but you got him back. And boy, did Brian Flores cook you. And this is the final thing, Sean. By my theory of Brian Flores and his defense, Sean, I can hear him typing. He's looking up the offensive line coach's name. I can hear it.
The offensive line coach is like, please don't.
Hey, don't look it up. Don't worry about it. Now, my theory with Brian Flores is his defense and the way he calls games is the determining factor whether your quarterback is good or not. That's the line. Either your quarterback succeeds against him and they're good, or they don't and they're somewhere between average to below average. Brock Purdy did not succeed. CJ Stroud did not succeed. So if I was sticking strictly with my theory, CJ Stroud's an average to below average quarterback because Brian Flores shut him down. But because I have some evidence and I have some sense, I ain't looking to get roasted. I'm going to go with that was just an offensive line issue and a Bobby Sloak issue, because I'm much like the fans. It's always Sloak's fault. It's never Stroud's fault.
So you're pointing at Bobby Sloak.
And the offensive line coach, whoever
Chris,
that is.
Chris Strasser.
That's right. Chris Strasser, Bobby Sloak, Laremy Tunsil, Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, all of you guys. Titus Howard, too. And Shaq Mason. Name them all. Get it together. Don't make my quarterback look bad. Because if you can't criticize CJ. Not yet.
Bobby Sloak. Bobby Sloak's going to learn what NFL stands for. Not for long.
you keep this crap up.
Yeah, he could have been the coach of the Panthers.
Now look at you.
We're blaming you for scoring 7 points in Minnesota.
Yeah. It's better than blaming.
Got your pants pulled down by Brian Flores.
I mean, we can blame D'Amico for what happened on defense. Maybe travel. Maybe have your best player on defense travel.
Maybe don't play off.
Or your best corner, at least.
Maybe also don't play
that too.
Soft coverage at the goal line. That's just me, though.
Well, they learned from the Colts. Hey, the Colts did it, and it worked out for us.
No, that's not how it works, D'Amico.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. It worked out for us because they were so bad at it.
Yeah.
So now that we're on defense, we shouldn't do it either.
Yeah, learn the wrong lesson there, Matt Burke.
Well, that's the thing. Matt Burke's like, I thought everyone said it was D'Amico's defense. Why am I catching it?
I was doing that watching the game. Because
they kept flashing to Matt Burke.
They kept showing him.
And Matt Burke will tell you, no, when things go well, it's D'Amico's defense. So when things go bad, it should be his defense too. Don't blame me. I'm just the cheerleader hyping everyone up when they make plays.
I just do the signals.
Yeah. Who the signals come from? The guy that Steven Nelson once again called Milk Dud yesterday.
I like that.
He got on Instagram.
I like that he took the victory lap.
He got on Instagram, and I think he posted a picture of a bunch of Milk Duds. He sure did. Out of the box.
He sure did.
Shout out to Steven Nelson. Not letting it go. Someone in there thinks I hold grudges. I don't hold grudges. Not you, Sean. There's another person in there, obviously. I don't hold grudges. I just remember things. Steven Nelson, he holds grudges. And Milk Dud, man, is something he's not letting go. Look, it's easy to do it when they lose a game. And I guess, is that what we're getting? Like a victory cigar, but the opposite? Every time D'Amico loses a game, are we getting a Milk Dud reference from Steven Nelson?
I wouldn't mind it.
I respect the pettiness. I do.
What, four or five more of these?
Yeah, I need it to be limited to about maybe four more. If they go 12-5.
They'll have some high-profile games where, I don't know, they'll probably lose at least half of them later in the season. Save it for those.
Yeah.
If they lose to the Bills at like 12 o'clock, you can keep that one. Too soon. Can't do it two times in 3 weeks.
Well,
but later in the season, no.
I just don't need it to become old hat. Like, oh, they've lost their seventh game. I don't need Milk Dud to come out again because they're losing so much. I don't need Steven Nelson to get tired of doing it.
Okay.
Because they've lost so many games.
What I'm about to say does not mean that I think that it will be like this season. But what it needs to be, what if it was a 2013 type season where they start 2-0?
Oh, what are we doing?
I said it won't be 2013.
So he gets.
But what if it is?
He gets off 15 Milk Dud references after losses.
15 in a row.
I think he would just stop.
From now until New Year's. Boom, boom, boom.
I don't think he does it if he has to do it that many times. Because I think Steven Nelson would be one. I need to get 15 different Milk Dud pictures. I can't do the same
one
every time.
You know how hard that is?
Yeah. Come on. Win some games. I don't think we're in for that type of year. But in the mode of, wouldn't it be funny, though?
They are on pace for...
To duplicate the 2-13 season.
They're on pace.
And
they've followed it to a T so far.
The only problem for you is Case is hurt, so he can't play this year.
That is a problem.
Or you really would have an avenue to suspect that would happen. I don't think it'll happen. Sean doesn't think it'll happen. But Sean is much like me. Hey, it'd be funny.
for this week, we can joke about how it's on pace.
Hey, you got to laugh.
And then
you cry.
And then if they lose next week, then it's immediately not funny anymore.
No, because it's the Jags. Right?
Yeah.
They can't lose to the Jags. Jags who are probably going to be 0-3 after they lose tonight. So there it is.
Also, people would get so mad at me and so mad at us.
No, not us. Much like Matt Burke.
No.
That's Sean's bit, not my bit. No, Sean's bit.
Oh, what show did I say this on? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but
what
happened on the – what happened? Matt Burke coaches for the Texans, but it's not his defense. It's D'Amico's defense.
You're Laramie Tunsil right now being like, hey, all of us have to be better.
I wouldn't even say that. I would say Sean has to be better. I would call you out by name. I wouldn't even do that.
I'm not getting the grace that Drew Scruggs got?
No, because Laramie Tunsil knows he's full of crap. You can't blame Drew Scruggs. You're the problem. I'm like, that guy's the problem. Sean's the problem. You would be the one who has to give me the grace. Hey, it's a we thing when you know you're the problem.
We win as a team, we lose as a team, Del.
Sure, but there's an I in win. And that I is me. We are done with hour one. We'll come back with more NFL stuff because another team got a win yesterday that was kind of unexpected. Baltimore, we expected to win. They weren't going to go 0-3. But the Panthers, replacing Bryce Young, they win a game. And they win it convincingly. Well, the Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce wasn't thrilled with his team. We'll hear from him, and we'll go around the league. What was funny for us, what was sad, we'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.